In the classic mid-century film Charade, Audrey Hepburn and Cary Grant are on a search for treasure that Audrey Hepburn's dead husband left behind. And they're looking everywhere that is spectacular. They're looking for gold bars in Swiss bank vaults. They're looking for cash hidden in the walls of an apartment, or maybe some sort of drug stash somewhere. There's all these different places they're looking, but they're not finding it. The only thing they have to go on is a letter that he wrote that seems pretty innocuous, that they think is some sort of code. But in fact, the whole time, the treasure that they're searching for is in the stamp on that letter. It was worth $750,000. And that's where it was. They almost overlooked the treasure because they were looking for the spectacular, when in fact it was something very ordinary that they had had with them the entire movie. Now the wise men came from the east, and their job was as astronomers. They could read the stars, and they could tell when a new star was rising and predict what it would mean. And so God spoke to them in a language that they would know, the ordinary language of their everyday work. So although for us the rising of a new star might seem a spectacular sign, for them it was part of their everyday life. And this is something that we all experience. So often we're looking for extraordinary signs or miracles, when in fact God doesn't come with that sort of message. When Christ came, he came as an infant in poverty. St. Jose Maria Escrivá picks up on this. Of course, Opus Dei, the work of God, is all about sanctifying everyday work. And so he had a friend who wrote him a letter and said that he had found God not in the places he was looking for, but he was amazed that he found him by just doing well the everyday work he was given. And Jose Maria Escrivá writes to him, "God calls the magi by means of the things they are familiar with. He shows them a large and extraordinary star that they would be impressed with. He called Moses when he was shepherding his flock, and Elisha when he was plowing his field, Amos while he is dressing trees. What amazes you seems natural to me, that God has sought you in the practice of your profession." And so whenever we're looking for God only in the extraordinary, we miss him the way he has throughout history talked to us, in those little moments, in doing the things that we're called to do day after day. And when we have found God in the ordinariness of our lives, then we can start to listen to where he's calling us to be. And that's what the wise men did. They found him in their work. They found him in the stars. And they listened to that call, which led them to Bethlehem. And having heard that call and arriving where God wanted them to be, they offered gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And each of those gifts has a profound meaning to it. Gold was the gift traditionally given kings. Frankincense is what is used and was used throughout history and in many different religions for incensing the altar of sacrifice, which we do even now here in the church. And myrrh is the most precious substance of the East, worth more even than gold, and yet it was also the bitterest herb. And that was to represent that Christ would achieve his greatest good, his most valuable action, through that which was bitterest, his death on the cross. In other words, through these gifts, it was more than just laying down birthday gifts before a baby. They were declaring, in their language, their belief, their faith in Christ as King, as God, and as Savior and Redeemer. And so having seen that we have to find God in that ordinariness of our lives, that we have to listen to the call, and that we have to offer him a gift, what gift will we give? We can't really give him gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but I think that the 16th century poet, Sir Ivor Atkins, has the solution. He says, "Thou child of man, lo to Bethlehem. The three kings are traveling. Travel with them. The star of mercy, the star of grace, shall lead thy heart to its resting place. Gold, incense, myrrh, thou canst not bring. Offer thy heart to the infant king." And what is that surest way of offering your heart in the same way that the wise men offered their gifts? Well, the wise men, when they had given their gifts, and when we give our heart, we can hear that call of God even more clearly. And so they were told not to return to Herod. Herod, who represents everything that is worldly. They were told not to return to Herod, but to go by a different way. And the message there is that whenever we encounter Christ, we never return the same way we came. We always go through life in a different way. Not the way of the world, represented by Herod, but the way that Christ has called us to go. So whenever we've encountered God in the sacraments, through prayer, through good works, the surest way that we can know that we've had a fruitful experience and a true encounter with Christ is the way we leave that encounter. Do we go back to our old sins and temptations? Do we treat others in the same uncharitable way as before? Do we speak about others behind their back? Do we still find it impossible to forgive? If we find ourselves in that place, then we haven't truly encountered Christ. When we encounter Christ, we find it a little bit easier to forgive, easier to be charitable to those around us, easier to resist temptation. We won't find perfection in that. We'll still fall into those sins, but we'll be better at it for having encountered our risen Lord. So each of us must follow the star of our ordinary life, lay the gift of our hearts before our Lord, and then we'll surely depart by a different way, a way that leads from a stable in Bethlehem through the gates of the kingdom of heaven.